How Twitter allegedly was compromised to help Saudi Arabia track dissent. I'm David Brancaccio. The U.S. Justice Department is charging two former employees of Twitter for using the platform to spy on critics of the Saudi government. Here's Marketplace's Nancy Marshall-Genzer in Washington.
The Justice Department is accusing one of the former Twitter employees of spying on three Twitter users and being paid at least $300,000 by a Saudi contact. Justice says he spied on one Twitter user with more than a million followers who's tweeted about corruption among Saudi leaders. The Justice Department says the second former Twitter employee accessed the personal information of more than 6,000 Twitter users. That information includes payment methods, email addresses, and internet addresses that can lead to a user's location. Justice is accusing a third man of acting as an intermediary between one of the former Twitter employees and Saudi officials. Twitter told the New York Times it limits access to sensitive information to a group of vetted employees. In Washington, I'm Nancy Marshall-Genzer for Marketplace.
Later today, quarterly results are due from the multimedia powerhouse known as Disney. It's been a busy year with Disney buying into new media, and the theme parks are not nothing. Marketplace's Kimberly Adams reports.
Even though Disney makes lots of money off its movies and TV shows and Broadway shows and ice shows and licensing, John Gerner at Leisure Business Advisors says the parks are a steady payday.
Theme parks are only a small part of Disney, and traditionally, the most dependable part, going back decades.
Now, with properties like Star Wars under the Disney umbrella, the company is pouring money into matching activities in the parks, like the Star Wars Galaxy's Edge. Martin Lewison teaches theme park management at Farmingdale State College in New York.
Now, they've raised their prices pretty aggressively, you know, to pay for all of this investment.
And that's part of the reason attendance was down 3% last quarter. But revenues were still up.
Because people who really want to go to Disney will pay whatever it costs to go to Disney. And they'll pay whatever it costs to buy the cool new merchandise.
Especially if it happens to look like a Millennium Falcon. I'm Kimberly Adams for Marketplace.
Some stock indicators. FTSE in London is up 0.2%. Dow future here up 149 points, 0.5%. S&P future up 0.4%.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
2 days from now is the 30th anniversary of the fall of the Berlin Wall. Over those years, Germany has spent an enormous $2.2 trillion to reunify East and West. What if, adjusted for population, the U.S. spent that kind of money to reunite economically lagging parts of America, given that technology is likely to make those divisions worse? I asked economist Diane Swonk about this during a recent visit to Chicago. She's the chief economist at the tax and advisory firm Grant Thornton, and a familiar voice on this program. Thank you for doing this.
My pleasure.
So you and I were talking not too long ago, and you were suggesting that now is the time for some serious government spending. I thought we were spending like crazy already.
We're not spending. We've taken out tax cuts, which means we don't have revenues, and we've increased spending on the margin in discretionary spending, which includes defense spending and some social programs. But that's really small stuff. That isn't the big infrastructure stuff that gives you productivity gains down the road. That's for current consumption.
So you're talking about investments that would pay off in different ways as opposed to just spending.
You know, we're at a period in time where interest rates are very low. And when interest rates are low, you actually do get a payoff to making long-term investments with productivity attached to them. And let's face it, we already know how much productivity is being disrupted by how bad our roads and bridges are, let alone no bullet trains. And I can tell you, my commute in the morning – half the time the train is late or doesn't come at all. And that's really disruptive to the overall economy. And you compound that by the overall size of our economy, and you get a lot of losses that shouldn't be there for a country as wealthy as we are.
Let's rest on this notion just for a moment of the benefits of a productivity gain. You can spend money on nice stuff that amuses you, but if you spend money on something that produces a productivity gain, people can get more done in the given amount of time.
And also you can earn more money. And, you know, I never like to say things pay for themselves. I mean, the productivity gains you get out of investment in infrastructure are 30 years in the making. That said, you know, if we're going to be spending out there, why aren't we spending on something, investing in something that's going to reap returns for everyone?
And it's not just infrastructure. It's not just burying power lines underground so they don't catch fire. It's not just upgrading a bridge so it doesn't fall down. It might also be education, retraining.
One of the most important things, right to my heart, is human capital. And human capital is really investing in people, and it's something we have grossly neglected for over 40 years. The tax cuts that we've seen over the last 40 years have come right out of public education. And that is part of the reason tuition costs have gone up. That is part of the reason kids are only going to school 4 days a week. That is part of the reason that teachers are going on strike in a time of the best economy we've had in how many years, because they don't have enough money to even make ends meet.
Now, before I go, I need to consult with an economist on the scale of my thesis here. It looks like Germany spent about $30,000 for everybody in the country over 30 years on reunification. If we took that money, my math says it's just under $10 trillion that the United States would spend, if it's going to spend at that level, over 30 years. Is that completely insane, or is there a fraction of that that would be more practical?
It's not completely insane, but depends on which economist you talk to at what moment in time. I would think, you know, at least a third of that is now necessary, and that's just the floor. Over time, if we made those kinds of investments, then we could think about what we could make more of as we reap some of the productivity growth from it. Deficits alone are not sustainable. But certainly borrowing at low rates to invest in your future instead of just spend right now is what you want to do.
Diane Swonk, thank you.
Thank you.
Tomorrow in the series, we'll highlight a patch of the West that's figured out some of this, transforming itself from economic mess to technology hub. I also just did check the national debt clock online, $23 trillion and counting, so there's that. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.